Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kiss 98.5 welcomes to the show Dr. Anthony Rao. Good morning, Dr. Rao. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Really did you have a good vacation?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it's good to get away, everyone. Doesn't matter where you go. Just take a little time, disconnect, shut down the devices.
From the doctor's perspective, what makes for the perfect vacation when we need to unplug?
You know what? I just positioned myself in a chair and just like stared at the ocean and fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
That's all right.
The nicest, like just literally an immersion back into the natural rhythms and sounds of large landscapes and water or trees. I don't care. It's like you got to get out of little houses and little offices and the little worlds of the screens and just like go just immerse back into, in fact, like where nature is where we all really evolved from. It's where your brain, I think, feels most comfortable.
We had a story this week that just walking outside for an awe walk, A-W-E, like a 15-minute awe walk each week can improve your happiness.
Yeah, we've seen some great research coming out for, I mean, now it's like within a 5 to 8 year band of time. Some of it earlier, like University of Michigan, just like, you know, let's just go walk outside and we'll measure various things, including like, you know, can you focus better? Do you feel more relaxed? Are there changes in your body? And it just doesn't take much. It's just, and we're wondering, is it the exposure maybe to more natural elements, like there's like trees and maybe some wind and multisensory things? Is it the movement? You know, is it the natural light? We don't know, but we know that these things are having real measurable effects. And I'm telling people, just, you know, break your day up in any way you can. Jump outside. You know, there's nothing too cold. It's about getting the right gear on. Even if it's for a few minutes, you feel alive, you feel better, and you come back in.
Doc, I want to talk about now that we're a couple weeks back to school in Western New York. Every district seems to have a different game plan. There are two sides to the at-home learning part. If you got kids at home for part or all of the day or all of the week, the parents dealing with it and the kids dealing with it. And I kind of want to get your perspective on both and how to manage from both sides of that new dynamic at home.
Oh, yeah. It's just nutty, right? And it seems to keep changing. I don't know about you, but I'm just like ready to like just not even think about it. But it's here, and we're about to enter into these tougher months, right? So we've got to sort of be on our better game here. And so, you know, for kids, I think, you know, we need to stop worrying too much about their stress levels per se, unless your kid's a little bit more like sensitive or has had some history of some issues. But for the most part, their thing is they're going to be less organized, like more distracted, particularly on screens, less motivated. And if your kid is not like a strong learner, they're just going on a shutdown. And also they're socially a bit lost. That's sort of like what's impacting them, right? But on the parent, you know, to your point, like it's really an impossible task if you think about it. You know, you're not a teacher, you have other work, and suddenly you feel like you're being dragged in more and more. Be really careful. We've got to work better with teachers. You know, check in with your teacher and say, look, I'm being real with you now. You know, I'm a single parent. I work. Here's my situation. What do you need from me to make sure my kid shows up, even if it's a hybrid model or virtual? Mm-hmm. And you let me know. I have your back. You tell me what you need on my end. You know, be real specific, and I'll back you up. And let me know, you know, if he or she doesn't show up to that. We got to get all of the adults that are really a part of this, like coordinating first, like having multiple bosses. And I think then the rest of it, I'm asking parents, like, you've got to adjust. your expectations here. There's no way that you're going to pull this off. This is in many ways like a lost year, but with lots of really interesting opportunities to do very different types of learning. But it's going to be a weird year. We got to get our head around that.
So as people are working their way through this remote learning, do you have any advice? I'm worried about the level of anxiety in people, and I think that includes kids too. And I'm worried about how they're feeling. What are, like, as a psychologist, as a child psychologist, what are the signs that people should look out for, parents should look out for, that the anxiety is just getting too much and maybe seek help?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's really one of the most common. You know, is my kid all right? Like, how do you know when it's too much? Or what am I feeling? Is it really gone over? Is this really normal or not? You know, just stepping back for a moment, before we went into COVID, the United States was at the highest levels of anxiety pretty much in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been noted as one of the most anxious places on the planet by a lot of epidemiologists who've been studying mental health. You know, we stressed and we're hyper-achieving and we don't take no for an answer, and we're just always pushing ourselves. So we went into this not in great shape, and we weren't sleeping great. We're sleep-deprived to begin with. So having said that, the anxiety levels are really super, super high. And I would say to you that if you're questioning it, if you're actually asking, like, is this normal what I'm seeing? It's worth a pause, and I'm glad people are asking. Under extraordinary circumstances, and these are just the rarest set of maybe 100-year circumstances that come together, unfolding crises, lots of uncertainty, it's like a massive stress test on everybody. So you look mostly for things like an interruption of sleep and the way you eat. We go for the basics first. Like, if you were to talk to any doctor, they'd be like, well, are you sleeping okay? Are you eating okay? They want to check your activity level too. If you're ruminating and it's preoccupying you so you can't do basic things, and you just find yourself like, I can't be on and do what I need to do day in, day out. Are my kids regressing? So if you have younger kids, and actually a little bit older kids, look for what we call regression. So then, you know, maybe a kid that hasn't wet the bed in years is suddenly wetting the bed, or maybe sleepwalking, or, okay, you know, like sudden outbursts, irritability, the whole bit. You look for like babyish behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, reach out to the pediatrician. You know, usually the pediatrician will say, wait and see. You know, and it's normal, I'm hearing it. But, you know, you keep an eye on it. But what you don't want to do is worry about what you're seeing. That will dump more anxiety into the family.
So wait. Don't worry about it, but act upon it. And by acting, you mean talk to the pediatrician or find out? Or how before the doctor, is there anything we could do to take care of it before we get to the office?
I mean, I love parents sitting down with their kids and saying, look, you know, we're all stressed. So you normalize it first. You validate and you normalize, right? And then you could take, you know, 3-4 pieces of paper and say, look, okay, what makes us feel really good as being a member of this family? What makes you feel good being a son or daughter? What makes you feel good about being a student? You know, what makes you feel good about being a good friend? And you sort of like plot those out. And there are their nice behavioral expectations as to what, you know, gives them a role and has them a purpose in life. If they're feeling anxious, they're either picking it up from us. It means the house is a bit chaotic and we've got to maneuver that environment. It's often from us, frankly. You know, when people come in to see me over all these years, I'm really looking at the parents, not the kids. The kids are barometers. They're just like canaries in a coal mine. And often this isn't something that's deeply embedded in them unless something specific has happened to them. It's mostly that they're taking the cues from all the systems and people around them, and then it's showing up as like, a major stress test.
So that's so true.
To really think about that. Yeah, it's super, super important.
Literally, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who she self-proclaims her as ADD, ADHD, worries, everything. And she's telling me about how, and she's got anxiety. She sometimes has bad anxiety. And then she starts talking about her daughter as if it's a completely different chapter instead of the chapters being intertwined. And she's like, yeah, but my daughter really has anxiety. And she goes through the exact same symptoms.
Wonder where she gets that from.
Right. Yeah. But she didn't when you just said that, but she doesn't view it. She sees it as two different problems because it's two different people.
And we think of these as things that are embedded in us because of some biological or genetic reason. That's sort of what we've been led to believe. Now, there is some truth to that, runs in families and all that, but a lot of it is learned. And maybe we have some vulnerability to be preoccupied more or a little bit dazed and not as much like detail focus. So we definitely have things that we inherit like that. But whether or not it shows up as anxiety or depression, mostly isn't due to just there's something in you that we have to treat. It's usually like a system. How does the whole system behave? You've been in offices or worked for places or had bosses that were just like, you know, dumping lots of stress and anxiety among their workers, right? And you and you carried it home. And so if that happens in a school, that happens on a team, a coach does it. If it happens in a bad friend group, if it happens at home, you know, we pass around anxiety, much like the common cold, I hate to say. It's very, very contagious. And again, I go back to this idea of like, look, so if I can get you out of your head, because that's where anxiety lives, it's usually imaginary thoughts and fears of the future and ruminations, most of which aren't either real or aren't likely to happen. Let's do real practical things. Let's get into movement. Let's get a list of tasks that can take your mind off it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our checklist of things when we worry. Often, even if you don't talk directly about what's bothering a person, giving them these sort of like tasks to do that have some level of productivity. I knew some people who were knitting and just realized, like, I love that sort of repetitive thing, or I took up cooking, or I'm outdoors a little bit more. And the anxiety goes down, goes away for some, goes down for others. And they realize, aha, I have some levers here to manage. It's really about letting go of feelings, not focusing on them. They're like those trains that you get stuck at, right, when you want to cross. Yeah. And you're like, oh, here come the trains. So there you are. The gates go down. And each one that comes by, think of it as that's what happens in your head. It's an emotion, right? It's like, oh, there's another feeling. Just let them go. But believe me, there will be more emotions coming. The brain just manufactures them.
Can I say this is so nice to have options other than eating for what to do when we're anxious or worried or nervous?
Good point, Nick.
Like my go-to is, food. That'll fix it.
That'll make me feel better. Your book, The Power of Agency, is a great book that gives principles to conquer the obstacles on making effective decisions, not only at work in your own life. And I think in these times that could really help people.
Yeah, and you know, people don't give up, you know. I mean, we are entering into a really strange season now, but we've got to get to the spring. And I think we're just going to be really happy when 2020 is over.
Bye.
And just moving on. Just don't give up and just keep at it.
We appreciate your time every Friday morning. Thanks for writing us before we go into the weekend.
It was great to talk to you guys.
You too. Dr. Anthony Rao, his book is The Power of Agency, a nationally known child psychologist here to just help us navigate each and every week. This is KISS 98.5.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.